Will you guys bow your heads with me? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that you are great. You are worthy to be praised today. We pray that today, Lord, that we see your beauty and your majesty. And because of who you are, we see that we can put our total faith and confidence in you. I pray that today, Lord, and through these next several weeks, you would use these messages and these sermons to increase our faith, to trust you even more, to lean into you even more, to depend on you even more, to look to you more and more. Whoever and wherever we are in life, Lord, let us always be reminded faith wins every time. Because you're the God of victory. You're the God who just cannot lose. So, Lord, let us look to you in all things and always. Bless us, I pray. It's in your Son's name. I pray that brings honor and glory towards. And that name is Jesus Christ. And his perfect name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, good morning, Christ Church. How are we feeling? Woo, woo, woo! Amen. God is good. As Sierra said, we got a lot of things coming on up. Make sure you mark your calendars. Make sure you download the Christ Church app. If you don't have the app, make sure you download it. That's the best way to stay up to date. But today, we're actually going to be continuing in week two of our sermon series. If you're just joining in with us or you just need a refresher from last week, we started a brand new series called By Faith. And this series is meant for each and every one of us to understand just what does faith means. Because we talk about faith a lot, but a lot of us, when it comes to defining it, right, we might find a hard time in doing that, right? So we want to try to look at faith in the most accurate way, but not just to understand faith, but so that you and I can be people of faith. That makes sense. Right, today's or this next few weeks isn't just for us to have more clarity, but that we can have more direction, if that makes sense. Right, not just to define what faith means, but that you and I can live that out totally more and more in our lives. And this is where we're going with in our first point or last week. Where we're going with this, we said that this is the idea of our series, that faith is building our lives. As the first point for today, faith is building our lives. You guys bring up that point, please. Faith is building our life. It's trusting God enough to build our lives around what he says, right? That's our whole landscape of just kind of this series. It is trusting God enough to build our lives. Again, faith is more than just I believe in God, but I'm walking with God. Does that make sense? It's more than just, hey, I believe in his existence, which is true. We need that, and that's important, but it's now living out. It's living as if that were true. Allowing that to affect our everyday lives. Allowing that to enter into our Monday and our Tuesday and when we're at our jobs and when we're frustrated at home and when we're encountering some of the life's most deepest tensions. It's not just knowing about God, but it's walking with God. Years and years ago, when I was a teenager, I decided, I had this great idea to go out and try out for our middle school baseball team. And I remember the thinking like this was maybe a good idea, or it was the local baseball team within Strongsville. And I remember going out for the team, and I was thinking to myself, you know, I'm an athlete. You know, I play basketball, I play football. I'm going to make the team. Baseball's not that hard anyway, right? That's what I was telling myself, right? Baseball's not that hard, right? Y'all, did y'all know your boy got cut from the team? I didn't even make the second, like, I didn't make the team. It was the worst day of my life, right? Now, again, you know, I had football and basketball, you know, real sports. I had football. I'm sorry, just being honest, you know what I'm saying? This is America. You know, and I remember losing my confidence that day, right? I remember like getting hit with this wall of frustration. And the moment I got cut, I tried to justify and try to find confidence in like my past achievements. Like I was trying to say to myself, like, oh, whatever, like I'm a football player. Like I don't need to do this, right? You know, real men play football. And I would just, at that moment, I was in the deep of it. And what I was trying to do, I was trying to find confidence, right? In the midst of that moment that I hate to think about, I can laugh about now. Don't worry, friends, I went to therapy. It's okay. I can laugh about now, but in that moment, something in me was reaching for confidence. And whenever you and I, when we hit the wall of life, when we get stuck, right, when we hit dead ends, we search for things to restore our confidence. And some of us, we try to look for the things we've accomplished or look for the things that we have or the people that we know. We try to find it in our reputation, try to find it in our connections, try to find it in our resources. But if we can be honest, the things we look to for confidence are fragile. And they're momentary, right? Because confidence is a big thing when it comes to life, right? Because there's a lot of things you can lose. But the one thing that we must sustain is this thing called confidence, right? And what we're going to discover today and what we're going to realize as we walk through more and more of this series in Hebrews chapter 11, a New Testament letter that we are going to be studying. And in this particular chapter, right, confidence is of importance. But it's not just about having confidence, but it's about where you place your confidence. Does that make sense? It's not just having it, but it's about where do you place it. And so today, what we're going to discover is that confidence is not in what, it's not in self-achievement, it's not in self-effort, it's not in self-accomplishment, but rather it's in who God is. And where we're going to be landing the plane for today. Again, I always do this every sermon because I know a lot of you don't remember everything that I say in my sermon. So I'd like to kind of give you the bottom line or the thesis of my message, right? And if there's anything you can remember of today's message, this is what I want you to remember. And this is what we're going to talk about today, about faith. Faith focuses on what God can do. And it trusts that he will always be good. That's where we're landing the plane today. Again, I'm not telling you to ignore the rest of the message, but I am telling you when you walk out of here, there's one thing that I want you to know, and there's one thing that the scriptures want to scream at each and every one of us in the most loving, inviting way, is that faith, it is the confidence to know that God will always be good. Even when you get cut, even when you hit a dead end, even when you hit a wall, even when you feel stuck, it is to know and to believe in what he can do and that he will always be good. And that's where we're going to be landing at today. So we're going to be jumping back into Hebrews chapter 11. For those who may be unfamiliar with the scriptures and maybe unfamiliar where we're at, this is an author that is unnamed, that we don't know who wrote this. But man, he writes this to particular Christians who are trying to navigate through very, very weird times in their lives. Right, and these weird times that they're facing persecution for their faith and all of that. I mean, there's just a lot going on. We can just go spend almost a whole a sermon talking about all the things that they're facing. And what he wants to do now in chapter 11, what he wants to do now, he wants to make faith real for them. He spent most of the book explaining to them the importance of Jesus, the supremacy of Jesus, the beauty of Jesus, right? But now he's talking, now he's moving into this section when he's like, when he's trying to move us towards what it looks like to live according to what is true. Right? And he uses these Old Testament figures. Last week we talked about Noah. Early on, he talked about this guy by the name of Enoch. You know, if you want to read some of those particular passages and stories and moments in history, you can. And today, we're going to be talking about two very famous figures. Whether you've been in church for a little while or for a short time, it doesn't matter. We're going to be talking about Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah. You guys grew up in church. Abraham, how many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one. And you too. So let's just pray the right, left, right, foot. All my church kids, I love you. right? We're going to be talking about Father Abraham and his wife Sarah. And, you know, if you remember a couple, I think it was a couple weeks ago, we did a series on living by what not to do according to their example. Because there are people that are of faith, but they are people who have some failure as well, too. But today, we're going to be jumping into this, and we're going to be starting in verse 8 in Hebrews 11. We're going to start with this, and it goes like this. By faith, this is the author, by faith, he's now bringing up another figure so that we can make faith more real. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive, very important there, he would later receive as in his inheritance. He obeyed and went. If you're taking down notes, if you have your Bible, if you have a pen, underline this. Without knowing where he was going. Keep that up there for them, Lucas. By faith, Abraham, when God called him out. So what is the author doing? He's going back to Genesis chapter 12. And in Genesis 12, we see God interact and come into the presence of this man by the name of Abraham. And he tells Abraham, he says, Abraham, leave this place. We're going to talk about that place in just a little bit. He says, leave this place and go. And go, and I will show you a place that I have prepared for you, right? And I love that the author says this, that God told him to go. And it says, Abraham went without knowing where he was going. You know what this tells us? It tells us this, that Abraham trusted God even when he didn't know the full picture. Even when he didn't have all the details. Because God just said, go. Now, God didn't tell him, like, you know, where to turn. You know, God didn't tell him the coordinates or the how long it's going to take or any of that. All God told Abraham was, hey, bro, go, leave, and I will show you a place that you will later receive. So what Abraham's going to describe to us today in a way of how we understand faith, that Abraham displays faith in what is unseen. Because here's what I want you guys to know. When God calls you, he invites you on what we call a journey. He invites you into a story, his story. Right? And this journey, here's the thing that God invites you. When God comes and he calls you and he says to trust him, this journey doesn't mean we will always know the plan. Hey, let me help give a lot of you some assurance. Following God doesn't mean you will always know what God is doing. And that stinks, doesn't it? Because we are natural planners, aren't we? My wife and I, whenever we go out of town and whenever we go on vacation, guess who plans that? Wait, I do. Why do you think my wife does? What are you trying to say, Mary Beth? I mean, okay, she does. But, you know, she plans it all. She plans the day we get down there. She plans what we're going to do for lunchtime. She plans where we're going to go for dinner. And I'm just there for long for the ride, you know, right? And just we're all natural planners, right? And we all plan our lives, don't we? And I think where a lot of our stress comes from is not that life is hard. It's that life... it's not working out according to our plans, right? You plan for your family to look a certain way. You put all your work and effort into that, and you're like, what in the world? You plan for your finances to be a certain way. You plan for your emotional and mental health to be a certain way, but you're not where you want to be. And sometimes following God, it can be a bit confusing, right? Right? Following God can be a bit confusing, but here's what I want to encourage you. Here's what I want to encourage you. Faith, it is adventuring with God. It's one of our core missions here at Christ Church that we say that we want to invite people into the adventure of faith, right? And this adventure, this journey that God invites you and I on, it means that we will not always know the plan, but we can't trust the planner. We can't trust the planner because faith, in essence, what we're learning here, because Abraham, he didn't know all the details. He just trusted God enough to move. He trusted God enough to obey. He trusted God enough to not hesitate. He trusted God enough to move because in the end, faith is not in a plan. It's in a person. Faith is not in what we think should be done, but in a perfect Father and his will to be done in our lives. That's what it means, friends. Because here's the thing, God is God. His ways are above our ways, the Bible says. If we always know what God is doing, that wouldn't mean it would take faith. That wouldn't mean it would take faith, right? God, his ways are above our ways, right? His thoughts are above our thoughts, right? And sure, we may not always know what is happening, but we do know, and we can trust that God is always working in our lives. There's going to be moments, friends, you're going to hit a wall, and it's a part of the journey. You're not a stranger. There's nothing wrong with you. You're going to have moments where you're going to be like, God, where you at? What's going on? Right? And if you read this enough, especially if you get into the Psalms, a lot of people experience that. Right? A lot of people experience, God, where are you? God, what are you doing? God, this isn't what we talked about. This isn't going according to, right? But at the end of the day, faith, it looks to the person of God. Abraham teaches us this. Abraham teaches faith doesn't always require full understanding, but it does require full surrender. This is important. Faith, we often have to understand, faith doesn't always require full understanding, but it does require full surrender, right? Faith isn't having all the answers, but it's trusting in the one who does. Who does? And surrender, now, if you're part of church and it's your first time here at church, surrender can kind of feel like very churchy and whatnot. A surrender, all it means, it's not giving up. It's getting to a point where you get to the end of yourself and you release and let go. Of trying to control the narrative, of trying to control every scene, of trying to control every season of life, of coming to this point where you realize, you know what? This fear and this anxiety that I'm experiencing, I can feel less of that the more I give to him. The more I hand over to him and the more I fully trust in him and surrender, all it means is just trusting God's direction. Even though his direction is unclear, I still know that he's leading. Because he says in Psalm 23, that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. And you're not just present. You're leading. You're not just in the moment. You're leading me to the next moment. And the moment after that. And the moment after that. And I'm going to surrender to you. And I'm going to trust you. Because faith doesn't always require full understanding. It just requires full surrender to God. Trusting his wisdom, trusting his direction. My son, I've often talked to you guys about, you know, we have Legos in the house, right? And let me tell you something about Legos. I hate them. Number one, I'm not a builder, okay? I'm just not. If you need me to speak, I'm your guy. Call me. Anything you need me to do with my hands, you know, you're already lost, okay? Don't call me to fix nothing. Don't call me to build nothing, right? My friend John over here, he's laughing because he's like, yeah, that's very true, okay? But here's the truth. One day, my son, he's playing with his Legos, and he's trying to, trying to do what the picture tells him to do and everything. I'm just ignoring him, watching basketball and football, the real man sports. And, I'm just sitting there, watching TV and everything, and he's getting frustrated with what he's building or what he's trying to build. And I'm kind of like, oh, yeah, you'll be all right. I'm a good dad that day. And then, he's getting more and more frustrated. And what he's trying to build keeps tipping over or falling over. The piece isn't fitting. The pieces aren't fitting the way he wants it to fit. Right? Because he's thinking, this should go here. Right? Then he gets more mad. Then he throws down the Legos. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing? And I just told him, do you need my help? And he says, no. I got this, Dad, right? 10 minutes later, he doesn't have it. He keeps trying to build, trying to make pieces fit, trying to do things, right? And here's the thing. We have a father who is a way better builder than we are. He knows where the pieces fit, right? He doesn't just know where the pieces fit. He created it all. And surrender looks like this. Surrender looks like this. It looks like trusting God enough to understand this. I'm putting this in your hands. And friends, can I just tell you right now, in the most loving way, you're going to hit a moment in your life where you just have to say to yourself, this is in God's hands. And that's the place you want to be. That's the place you want to be. God loves you so much, he'll bring you to the end of yourself. So you can stop striving and start trusting. Because he loves you. He loves you. Yeah, you don't understand, but you know the one who has a plan. You know the one who has a purpose. And life may feel uncertain, friends, but here's the truth. God is never unsure. Life may feel uncertain, but God is never unsure. Abraham, he goes out and he trusts God enough to build his life. He trusts God enough. Now, what's interesting about Abraham, you got to understand this, because this part really matters. I believe it's in verse 11. Go to verse 11 for them. It says, verse 10. Sorry about that. It says, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Sorry, let's go before that one. Verse 9. He says, by faith, he dwelt in the promised land as a stranger. This is interesting. In a foreign country. You got to understand this about Abraham. Abraham was not looking for God. Abraham was from this place called the Ur of Chaldeans. It was a place where they didn't worship God. At least not the true God. They worship multiple gods, little g's, right? He was in a place full of idolatry, right? God pursued a man that wasn't pursuing him. I find that very interesting. God was reaching towards a man, and God uses Abraham's life, and God tells Abraham, go to this distant country, and I will give you a land, and I will bring to you a people, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing in all of this. But it's very interesting. God called him out of a place. God called him out of a place. Here's what I'm trying to say. God wasn't just calling him to somewhere, but God was calling him out of something. Does that make sense? God wasn't just calling him to go somewhere. God was calling Abraham to leave something behind. Because here's the one thing I want you guys to know. To follow God, it often requires leaving something behind. It often requires leaving something behind. Because faith doesn't just follow God forward. It leaves behind the old. It leaves behind the old, right? And that's what faith is. That's what faith does and meant for each and every one of us. Why? Because you can't fully trust God while still clinging on to things that compete with him. While still clinging on. And you can't follow God and remain unchanged. Meaning, to fully trust him. God isn't just calling us to go forward with him. He's calling us to leave something behind. Before I move on to this next point, I want to ask, what is God asking and calling us to leave behind? For a lot of us, you know, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, I have to leave behind this thing called self-reliance, where I always think it's up to me to make sure everything gets accomplished. It's up to my strength and my abilities and my purpose and my will and my energy. Me, 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 me. Right? Maybe for some of us it's sin that exists in our lives. Certain addictions that exist in our lives. Because we can't walk into the life God is calling us towards if we keep anchoring ourselves in a life God is trying to save us from. Right? Maybe that's what that is for you and I. Faith doesn't just trust God with the future. It learns to release the past. So we see Abraham. The author uses him as a way to give to us faith is in what is unseen, but it also it's faith is leaving something behind, right? Because the more I'm going to trust God, it often requires me that I need to let some things go. Hey, what do you need to let go? Right? Oh, I forgot to bring this up. You know the one thing I need to let go? Blaming everything on everyone. Because I'm really good at being a victim. I'm sorry, did that hurt? Did I just talk to you today? I did because I love you. I'm really good at being a victim. I'm a professional victim. I went to school for it. The school of pain. Right? And I know that in order to move forward, I must say no. Because faith doesn't just say yes to God, it says no to some things too. It says no to some things. So Abraham is used as an example for us. But then also, something awesome happens. He continues to build up. The author builds up on this. He says this in verse 11. He goes from using Abraham to now he talks about his wife. In verse 11, he says, by faith, Sarah, even though she was barren and beyond the proper age, goes on, and then he goes on, he says, was enabled to conceive a child because she considered him faithful who had promised. Verse 12. And so from one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. So now we go and lock into Sarah. Now, this is very interesting. God had promised Abraham and Sarah a son. Go back to Genesis and read about this. But here's what's very interesting. God comes to them and says, I'm going to give you a child. I'm going to give you a son. More on that son in a little bit. Now, again, God made a lot of promises. God promised them a land. God promised them a nation, right? People, and then he promises them a son. But here's the problem, friends. Sarah is beyond her years of being able to have a child. When God makes this promise, if you go back to Genesis, she is 90 years old. Put two and two together. And Abraham, he's older, right? And to them, they hear this, and they're like, wait, what? We're going to have a child? Do you know where we're at in life? Do you know what's going on in this season? Like, it seemed like impossible. It seemed impossible. It seemed like this is unlikely, right? According to a human perspective, according to our understanding, according to science, we wouldn't be able to do this, right? It got to the point where Sarah even laughed at God. Sarah even laughed at God. And this is where the author is trying to do in this particular passage. The author uses Sarah as an example to display faith in the impossible. Because here's the truth, friends. Faith believes nothing is too hard for God. Because guess what? Although it was laughable at one point, later on, she did get pregnant. She had a child. And his name was Isaac. He was a wonderful child, right? And what is this trying to get us to understand? Because here's the thing. That child came, but here's the thing. Here's what had to happen. This is the part you're not going to like in the sermon. They had to wait. Because sometimes God doesn't say no. God sometimes just says wait. But here's the truth. You and I, we hate waiting. Waiting feels foolish to us. Waiting feels silly to us, right? Waiting feels like, God, I want it now. It makes sense. Do it now, right? Right? If you do it now, I'll be happier. If you just do this in this moment, at this time, within God, then I'll be happy, and then I'll go to church, and then I'll sing your praises, and then I'll read my Bible, and then I'll do all of these things. But here's the truth, friends, and here's what I want you to understand, and this is where we're trying to go towards in this point. Faith involves waiting. It involves waiting. Because as I said before, God doesn't always say no. Sometimes he says wait. Wait. And a lot of us, we're waiting for God to do something. We're waiting for change. We're waiting for healing. We're waiting for difference. We're waiting for answers. We're waiting and waiting and waiting. And it feels like forever. For a long time. But here's the blessing that comes from waiting. Because here's the thing. Waiting is stressful, but by faith, it can be the greatest blessing in our lives because God never wastes our waiting. As a matter of fact, God uses the seasons of waiting to refine our character. God uses, because sometimes before God changes it, he wants to change you. Sometimes before God brings the blessing, he wants to bring an even greater and double blessing that happens deep within the heart. We call this, and the Bible calls this, a season of refining, where God refines you, right? Like, for instance, a lot of you have jewelry on, right? For those, you might be a lover of gold, right? Right? Before the gold was displayed in the jewelry store, it went through what they call a refining process. It was tested by fire. And what did the fire do? The fire didn't destroy it. It purified it. It made it beautiful so that it can be displayed and you can spend all your money on it and you can ruin your credit. Because I did that 15 years ago when I proposed to this woman. I'm still paying off on it. Pray for me. Sorry, I got distracted. Move on. Right? Right? It's valuable. It's worth it because it goes through the fire. And friends, waiting, it feels like that furnace. It feels like a fire. But friends, the result is way more greater than the moment. What builds from that, and sometimes what builds from that, is God creates within us what is lacking, what was lacking before. Sometimes in the season of waiting, God will use those seasons of waiting before he heals or delivers or promotes, whatever it may be. God does something in us before he does something for us. Sometimes the thing that he does in us, you need to be more of a patient person because he can give you a blessing, but you'd rather
lets you become more of a patient person so you can appreciate it even more. So that you can learn the skill of patience. So you can learn the skill of where true joy is found. So you can learn the skill of intimacy with God. So you can learn the skill of peace. And you can learn all of that, friends. Make no mistake. God never wastes your waiting. He never wastes it. But he uses it to refine you because he loves you. He loves you. Sure, God can do it right now. God can heal this right now. God can deliver right now. But he wants to use the moment that you're in to develop something that is lacking within. That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do more and more within each and every one of us. And she considered him faithful. Sarah endured the long season, 25 years it took for them to have a child. So do the math. She was 90. Now I went to public school. You got to help me. Do the math. Right? She was old. 25 years. That's a long time. That's a lot of faith, right? A lot of faith. Yeah, we're waiting. I don't know about 25 years, though. We're waiting. But how was she able to endure that waiting? She looked and she believed God was faithful. She believed that God was not going to hold out on him, on her. She believed that at the end of the day, what I can't understand is not too hard for my God. Because faith rests on the faithfulness of God. Friends, we serve a God who is faithful. We serve a God who doesn't hold out on us. We serve a God who doesn't just do it halfway. We serve a God who is fully dependable and trustworthy. You're in a season of waiting. You will find yourself in a season of waiting. You will find yourself in a season of doubt. You will find yourself in a season where you hit a wall. You will find yourself where you feel like you've hit another dead end. And where and how do you and I find the strength to get up and trust God again? Well, it won't start in what we can understand. It won't start in what we can fathom. But it starts by looking at the God who says, I am faithful. Because faith is living with a certainty, absolute certainty. Why? Because God is faithful. You see in this story in Genesis, Abraham and Sarah weren't seeking God, but God came seeking them. And God comes to them. And God promised them a land. God promises them a people, a nation. God promises a son. But here's where the blessing really is found. All of this was a foreshadow to the true son, Jesus Christ, the promised one. That land that God promised was a land that was going to be of their rest. Jesus says in Matthew 11, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Jesus is the true rest. He is the true son. He is the one who makes us people God. In the life of Jesus, in the life, in his death and his resurrection, in Christ, we see God's ultimate expression of his sufficiency and his faithfulness. If you need a reason to trust God again, friends, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. We need a reason to move forward tomorrow. Even though you're still in pain, even though it still hurts, even though answers still haven't been met, Look to Jesus. Because the life of Jesus reminds us God is trustworthy. He's trustworthy. And he's sufficient. And he's faithful. If you're someone today, I want to pray a prayer where you just feel stuck. I want to pray a prayer over you. If you're someone today where you're just in the middle of doubt, I'm going to pray a prayer over you. If you're someone today, you feel like God is far and distant and delayed, I want to say a prayer over you. And here's the ultimate result of your prayer, that you would land with this truth. I may not know what's going on, where I'm going, or what's happening, but I do know God is always working. And he will not stop being good. He cannot. And he will not. It's in his essence. It's part of his nature. He's not inconsistent with his goodness. He is fully, fully capable and able as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, there are some of us today, this idea of faith is so foreign and so difficult because life is so frustrating. And it's frustrating because of just the many hurdles and the battles we are constantly hit with time after time. And a lot of us, we define our lives through the battles. We define our lives through the pits. We define our lives by the addictions. We define our lives by the setbacks. We define our lives by the dysfunction. But Father, give us a faith that says this: I trust in the one who is faithful. I trust in the one who is able. And not only do I trust him, I will move forward and walk with him. Because he's the shepherd. And Jesus, you promised to be our shepherd. And every promise finds its yes in you. Every promise is fulfilled in you. So Lord, help us to know that wherever we are in life, whether we're at the highs or the lows, there's always a shepherd. There's always a shepherd. And give us the faith to look to you, to walk with you, to trust in you. Lord, for those who are struggling in their faith today, I pray that they bring to you their struggles. I pray that they bring to you their worries. I pray that they bring to you their frustrations. You're a God who wants to hear it all. You're a God who isn't insecure about hearing our frustrations, but rather you delight so that you may give us delight found in you. And I pray that we all have an honest prayer today. And we can be frustrated, and we can be upset, but there's one thing that will always be true, is that you will always be good. You're going to always be good. I put my faith in that. Put my faith that God says he's good, he's going to be good. I may not be able to define it, but I do know who will fulfill it. So bless us, I pray. Help us, I pray. It's in your son's perfect name. Amen.